dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Hello there, SVC fans, and welcome in to show 202 of the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. We are in Season 7, and this is our boys' basketball preview show, brought to you, as all of our shows have been, by the Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, they are open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. You can give them a call at 740-773-7529 and get all kinds of detailed information at their website, which is found at TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. We appreciate their continued sponsorship, this being, again, show 202 and our boys' basketball preview show. I'd like to welcome in the two SVC sports experts. First one, of course, being Derek Webb of the Chillicothe Gazette. Derek, your opening thoughts here as we finished up football and all the fall sports for boys. Your thoughts on the boys basketball this year?
Hey, I'm ready to see Dylan Swingle dunk. No, I mean other things too. No, I'm ready for this season. I think this is going to be a very competitive season. Maybe one of the more competitive seasons I've had. As a reporter in the area, even near the top of the standings, I think that, obviously we all know about Uniota coming in with that 55-game win streak. I really think they're going to be challenged this year. And, any given night, anybody can lose. And that's the fun thing about basketball. So we're excited here.
That's why we play the game, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I'd like to bring in Mr. Shane Combs of SBC Sports Zone. And Shane, we just got over the little hiatus here after doing our show 200 there, a real fun night out at McDonald's on the west side of Chillicothe. Lots of good friends. And I enjoyed personally, putting faces with a lot of names that I've never met before. But it was fun to share the night with you. I appreciate that very much. But what are you looking to this year?
Well, I tell you, I appreciate you, Bruce, and you're right. That was a really, really cool night. I mean, it ranks right up there at the top of anything I've been able to do in my 10 years on this website, or the 7 years on this podcast show, the online radio show, SBC Sports Talk. But it was special. I mean, if fans haven't had a chance to go back and listen to that, we had some old friends in from the show, Jeremy Ward, Chris Eldridge. We covered every sport, every school. We had Alan Coker, Lori Coker, Gavin Snyder, Trevor Thomas, Brett Carino on the girls' side. But we had a lot of boys basketball flavor. So obviously, if you're listening to this show, you're big boys fans. We had my brother Matt and Dylan Swingle, Paint Valley, sit down for a cool interview. Eric Snyder, now the boys coach there at Huntington. Joe Holbert and Dave Shoemaker from Paint Valley had come in. And then obviously another one of my really good friends, Kevin Schultz there from Crown Hill Golf Club. So, as I said on the girls show, not only he is a sponsor, but as a girls golf coach there at Westfall and all he's done. So certainly appreciate all he's done. Make sure you give Crown Hill Golf Club a call, 740-986-4653. This time of year, it's a great time to maybe set up a little membership package for someone on your list there. So, Bruce, kind of like we did on the girls show, if you guys don't mind taking, 6-7 minutes here, I would love to start here again with the interview with Jeff Miller and Matt Hoops. If you haven't had a chance on the girls show, again, go back, show 201. And listen to part one. They talked a little bit of girls hoops back and forth. And now, as the interview continues, we go more to the boys' side. But again, the theme of that 200 show was so many friends and people that have meant a lot to me. And with the packed agenda that night, it just made sense to kind of bump these two into the basketball preview show. So Bruce, if you're okay with it here to start show 202, let's go back and pick up part two of that interview with Jeff and Matt.
Well, again, here we are, our part two of this interview. If you had a chance to tune into our girls show, you heard Coach Hoops, Coach Miller talking a little on the girls side. Now we're going to switch gears here on our boys preview show. So I'll start with you, Matt. You know, obviously, an incredible run, some incredible things. People are going to talk about the streak and different things. I know beyond the streak, you're not big on the number, not big on where it's at or whatever. But at the same time, when you have a chance to reflect and you have a chance to look, where the program is at to where it is now, that has to be something you are proud of and excited to take on another challenge again this year.
Yeah, it is. And I you know, once the season starts rolling and you don't really think too much in terms of numbers rather than the next game or the next opponent. But, you know, as you're sitting around in the spring or whatever and someone starts talking to you and you have some time alone and sit back and think, I mean, you just never think that you're going to be put in a position like this. I can remember wondering if we would ever finish 500 in the league first couple years here, and felt like it was a great accomplishment when we finally did that. And then, you know, you get some classes that are unbelievable in a row, and you string those together, and you turn around and you look up, and it is what it is. But you know, there's been a lot of great basketball players that have come through here the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, Jeff, you and I have been on some really good teams here at Uniota, and when you watch the program take off the way it has here in the last 5, 6, 7 years, it's crazy. We get it as coaches ourselves, you know, the mindset you would get into if you're Coach Hoops. But, like, if I ask you to just forget that he's sitting here for a second and just talk to me about, you know, to think that many in a row, that's just insane, isn't it?
It's really hard to fathom when you think, there hasn't been one night, when you just came out and had, you know, whether it be a miserable shooting night, you had a key injury, and you know, you just stubbed your toe one night when you're talking, I don't even know what it's at right now. But regardless, I mean, to go season after season without losing that, it's a credit to the staff. It's a credit to the kids on the team, you know, to be able to overcome. I mean, there's been adversities throughout that streak. I mean, in some way, shape, or form, they've overcome adversities. And it's just a credit to that, the whole program, to be able to overcome those and just kind of keep grinding. And, you know, it gets to the point where you come out every night, and I think those kids, they believe that every night when they step on the floor, they're going to win a game. And like Coach Hoop said, I'm sure his first couple years, he didn't have kids believe, you know, any time hardly when they step out, they were going to win a game. They were hoping to win a game, and now they believe every time they step out, they're going to win a game. So, yeah, it's been neat just to kind of sit back and see it. Yes, I would like to be in that situation. I mean, that'd be nice if I was sitting here on a 50-some game win streak in the league. But I also know that, you know, there's some pressure that goes along with that, with not only the coaching staff and the kids as well. So, you know, as far as that's concerned, I'll continue to sit back and let him take the pressure and enjoy it from the stage. So,
you know, one of the big topics that's come up in some of our off-season inbox and some basketball things, that's one thing I love about doing this, is I get involved in so many just sports discussions with people. And, you know, one thing you could obviously do really well in your playing days was shoot the long ball. And the three-point shots started to, you know, really change the game over the last generation for sure. You were there right at the beginning of the three-point line. I remember Coach Lovely, unsure of it at the beginning. I know you guys would probably drive him nuts with the way you and my brother and Tresson, you guys would shoot it probably a little bit more at times even than he wanted. But it obviously ended up being a great weapon. What's the three-point line done to change the game overall? And has it been any different from the boys to the girls game, or has it kind of had the same effect?
I think as far as the effect, I think it's been similar. You know, obviously, the 19-9, I think at the high school level, when you're talking about kids that can shoot it, you know, you've got a few kids maybe on every team who you feel like, in the girls' game, who can knock that shot down consistently. You know, you'll see some of the boys' teams, they'll have 4, 5, 6 kids that can really shoot it from there. Yeah. On the girls' side, you know, you might have 2 that are consistent with it. But as far as, like, changing the game, it did change the game. I don't want to sit here and say it's for the better, for the worse, because, to be honest with you, I really don't know, because I didn't play I didn't really play it competitively before it was not there. So, so I can't tell you that. But as far as I'm concerned, I mean, it's a big part of what we do. And maybe that's just me and my philosophy, but you know, my thing is if we can shoot it and we shoot it well, then I think that's an advantage we have over other teams. So, I enjoyed it as a player. I enjoyed it as a coach. So,
you know, Hoopsie, when you look at this year's league, it's kind of intriguing here in the off season. I know your backcourt is signed to play at the next level. Obviously, the incredible talent of a guy like Swingle, and there's more to come, and some different things. I mean, I think the league with a kid like Purdue coming into Piketon, there's a lot to like in terms of the competition in this year's league. What I talked to Jeff about. I'm not going to sit here and ask you for predictions and stuff like I did him on the girls' side there. Just an overview of the league and kind of the challenges and maybe the dynamic the SVC is going to offer fans this year.
Well, I think one thing you got to talk about the coaches that are involved in the league. I think they all do a great job with their programs and what they do, and you know, they do them really well. They don't really try to change for anyone. They focus on who they are, and I think they're all their kids buy into that, and when you do that, you have a chance to be really successful. And I think the coaches in this league do a great job of that. I think there are a lot of players in the league that are basketball-only players, which, you know, doesn't always happen. I think, you know, you mentioned the Purdue kid, obviously Dylan Swingle. Logan and Brandon on our team are just, you know, they're basketball players. So those guys are going to be ready to play the game early on in the season and hopefully get their teammates to follow suit.
Well, guys, I know kind of my adult life, my profession's taken me elsewhere, and there's times throughout our career that we've competed against each other, or maybe still will compete, or maybe someday do it together, whatever it might be. You guys know how much you mean to me, and I always have one eye on what you're doing, and certainly proud of what you guys have accomplished here at Uniota. So I appreciate your time on SVC Sports Talk.
Thanks, Shane.
Thanks, sir.
Again, two really good friends of mine, Jeff Miller and Matt Hoops. I appreciate their time. Really, really good stuff. If you haven't had a chance, get back, listen to the girls' show. It's right at the beginning of that show as well. And then there again, that's part two. But guys, I just wanted to read something to you real quick off of our streaks page, our SVC streaks. In 2013-14, Uniota lost an opening night to Zane Trace, and then ran off 13 straight SVC games to win the league. The following season, they go 14 straight, and then they to push it to 27. And then the past two seasons, they go 14-0. So now 55 straight, bettering SE streak of the early 2000s, back when they had Chris Skaggs and some really, really good teams. So just insane. You heard me mention it when I was talking to Jeff. I mean, I played on some pretty good teams at Uniota. Jeff played on one of the best teams in league history. And some of those best teams fell short at 13-1. They still won the league, but they fell short, say, at 13-1. The concept of winning 55 straight games in the league is absolutely stupid.
Agreed.
I mean, it is crazy, crazy good. And I think sometimes we've taken that for granted. So I guess I wanted to just start by making sure I give that particular accomplishment its due. And I think what's really cool on the schedule here, Derek, is league play opens on December 8th with Uniota at Zane Trace, possibly one of their toughest test in order to try to repeat, not just keep the streak alive, but to try to win the league again this year. You know, the Zane Trace, the Pike, and some of these schools in the Paint Valley, it's going to be some of the toughest tests on their schedule. So I just thought, you know, that was kind of an interesting thing to really highlight there. I don't think people understand, Bruce, just how incredible that is. And that's going to be an exciting night when they start league play there with by far one of their toughest tests here on the 17-18 schedule.
It will be interesting, and we'll all be looking for the tweets from Twitter boy there, Mr. Webb, as it unfolds if we can't make it out there. Well, now let's move to our preseason inbox questions. As I alluded to, I guess it was in the other show, that You know, mm-hmm. we may have been on hiatus, but that didn't mean that the inbox was. It was continuing to fill up. And we'll look into that inbox as we tell you that it's brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment. They are located at 106 West Main Street in Circleville. Give them a call, 740-477-9828. They are your SVC local school apparel provider, along with other forms of sports equipment, including headwear, sports accessories, and all kinds of fitness gear for those of you that are watching your waistline at this time of year. And we're all getting it where we can watch it, aren't we, boys? Anyway, Shane, we got a question here for you, and it's been reported that three and maybe even four schools won't have freshman teams this year. How concerned are you about the future of SVC basketball with relation to the freshman teams?
Well, when I answer this, Bruce, I'm talking not just necessarily short term, but really the long term future of our league. To be honest, I'm scared to death. When I go back 10 years ago, and I can remember specific detailed conversations with people about the culture change in the Little League and the different things. And I talked about how I thought it was going to destroy 7th and 9th grade basketball at so many schools in our league. And here we are a decade later and it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a scary time for someone who loves the game as much as I do. It's a concern. It's a Little League culture. It's a scary, scary time to be a head coach who's trying to take on a new program or to try to build something from scratch. I think the average fan out there has absolutely no idea all the different things and challenges and obstacles that that a coach faces in today's time in terms of trying to start and build a program. So, you know, maybe I'm overreacting, maybe I'm not. But I think the proof is in what you just said. It's in that email.
Yeah.
Here we are this many years later and half the league doesn't have freshman basketball. And that's a problem. That's a huge concern. And so that's just kind of the way I feel about it.
It really makes it hard without the freshmen. I mean, you know, those people move up to JV teams, maybe the top echelon of your freshman class. Is that how it kind of works? And then it's, you know, people are going to drop off and they're not going to have that experience that they would have gotten through the freshman teams and so forth. So it's a real problem.
Yeah, because I compare it to, you know, if you put a kid that's in basic math and algebra one, yeah. algebra two, geometry and trig, and put them all in the same class and say, here, learn. You know, it's basically, you know, you have freshman boys. Think about how much a boy's body changes between that freshman sophomore year, that sophomore junior yeah. year. And they're walking basically in as a freshman, and you're basically saying that, okay, you have to be at least good enough to impact JV basketball, or what are we going to do with you this year?
All right.
So it's and then what happens is your numbers hurt. So when classes come along, freshmen play JV or varsity if they're ready or not. We're no longer putting kids on varsity because they're ready to play varsity basketball. A lot of mm-hmm. times we're putting kids on varsity basketball just because the rules say you got to have five.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Derek, do you have any thoughts about this other than what we've already voiced?
No, I mean, I think, you know, maybe for just in listening to Shane, you know, if a listener thought, and Shane, I guess I'd ask you that. Do you think that, you know, we see this with like soccer, we see this with other sports, minor wrestling, golf, cross country sometimes. You're not saying that. And down the road, a SVC team won't have any type of basketball. I don't think I'm scared in that respect. I'm scared of the developing program. I think we're on the same page there, right?
I think it's the product on the court.
Sure,
but,
sure.
But I hope that's where it stops. I mean, keep sure. in mind, over on the girls' side, we're down to less than 15 in two or three of our programs. So, you know, I don't think – I'm not saying it's ever going to get to that. But, I mean, I think that's even way too far. You know what I mean? I think the fact that it's going to start hurting our product on the court, I would say it's safe to say it's hurt our overall product already.
Absolutely.
So again, it's just something I'm pretty passionate about. And I And like I said, it's a huge compromise, and it takes a lot of different people of a lot of different age groups if we're going to fix it. And I just think it's a real scary time to be a varsity head coach right now, especially if you're not already established in your program.
Derek, we've got a question here for you, and it's something I'm sure you get asked once or twice, that being a question about deadlines. And how will deadlines influence your printed coverage this year? Maybe is it the same as last year? Are new deadlines in place?
No, you know, I think it's pretty – I mean, I guess actually when you look at last year, it is a little bit different. We switched to a 4:30 p.m. deadline. And what that means, obviously, guys, is my basketball game starts at 7:30. My deadline is 4:30. So, you know, I mean – I guess, for lack of a better word, I mean, I'm kind of on the short end of a stick.
Right.
You know, I what I do when somebody comes up to me, because you're right, I mean, people do ask that, and sometimes they holler it at me. you know, I'll say this. I kind of break it down short like this. The deadlines have nothing to do with a local decision. It's a corporate decision. So basically there's some guy, and I'm in an office in Cincinnati or in Newark saying, you know, hey, we need your content by 4:30. And it doesn't matter what we have to say about that. That's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And so like at a local, and what I mean by at a local level is I don't have any say. My editor, Mike Throne, doesn't have any say. Nobody in Chillicothe has any say over that. So just something we've had to been forced to live with, but we've adapted. You know, I also tell, you know, the people that do ask me that, no matter the deadline, we will always have the results of that night games, live coverage, pictures, video. We'll always have that that night mm-hmm. on the website. And so we really tried to kind of go digital first, if you would.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have that each night. Everything that you would have the next day in your newspaper, you'll have that night at your fingertips on your mobile phone or on your PC or, you know, laptop or whatever it may be. As far as print goes, you know, live coverage of games, you know, say Southeastern and Unyota play on the girls' side, or say St. Trace and Unyota boys play, like that December 8th game, Shane, that you were talking about, that won't be in the next day, but it'll be in 2 days later because of that early deadline. So I guess it just kind of depends on when you want your news. I'm kind of the old school. I want it, you know, now. So mm-hmm. If that's how it is, then obviously that's on the website. If not, you know, maybe pick up a paper in the next couple of days. We got some features and columns, long forms, all that good stuff. So,
all right. Well, it's also logistics, I'm sure, as well.
Sure.
Yeah. Just depends. So, and it's a little bit different flavor. Like you said, the more immediate stuff gets pushed to the web because it delivers mm-hmm. immediately versus printed stuff takes time. So I certainly understand. May not like it, but I certainly understand. Let's head to our fast break there, Shane.
Yeah, as we mentioned on the girls' show, people that have been with SVC Sports Talk for a while now, they know that what's our hurry-up offense in the fall turns to our fast break segment in the winter, where Bruce will fire some quick questions, and Derek and I, Derek will go first, I'll follow up. Guys, this is brought to the fans, as always, by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. You know, I've mentioned their incredible facilities there and some of their banquet facilities. I know they've had different you know, events and different things that they've brought in. It's just a really growing business there, and they do some cool things. So even in the winter months here, there's still some things to follow up on, and obviously with Christmas around the corner here, some great membership packages and so forth, so you can get that golfer on your shopping list. So again, that number was 740-986-4653. And Bruce, if you're ready, we'll kind of go similar questions that we had on the girls' show, but we'll obviously twist them around to the boys' side. Derek will go first, and I'll follow up.
Based on last year's performance, as well as what you've watched and researched this offseason and preseason, give the fans your preseason all-SVC first team.
I'll tell you what, Shane, for me it was a little bit easier to pick the girls. I think the boys are going to have a list of, I've got about 9 names, that, you know, and somebody has to condense that to 5. If I had to pick right now based off last season, you got to have Dylan Swingle at the top. I think he's a obvious candidate for a player of the year type of, you know, performer. Logan Slackhammer, Brandon Kennedy, that backcourt at Uniota has been so good for so many years. This is their senior year. I have expect nothing less than for them to go out with a bang. Then you look at Lane Ruby, who really came in and blossomed. And I tell you what, he impressed me out of anybody at the preview. I know, you know, maybe he wasn't playing the first team defense of the Uniota team, but shot well. He looks good. You know he's in physical shape with football coming. So I think he's going to have a big impact. And then I got either Tanner Perdue at Piketon, who I was very impressed with as well, or I've got a Nick Nesser at Zane Trace. So I know I kind of cheated, had six there, but I think that's your four, and then between the two. How's that sound?
Now, see, if that was me, Bruce would jump in here even on fast break and just be all over me. I Bruce, will only have five.
Good.
Just for the record. The I agree with Dylan at the top there. As I said, with Ella Skeens on the girls' side, you know, with Dylan, you're talking about a once, not really in a generation, really once in a lifetime opportunity mm-hmm. here in the SVC to see a kid at his size and his skill set. Just an absolute pleasure to watch him grow and play. That's a no-brainer. I'm going to go with three Uniota guys. I think, again, based on, again, the question, based on last year, based on the offseason, I'm going to go really in no particular order. I think Swackhammer, Kennedy, and Hill all give you that big three where they all do what they do, and that's what makes them so special. I think Swackhammer is really dynamic with the ball. He's proven here in the preseason he can score if he needs to. I still think he'll kind of fill that part of his game out and kind of find that happy mix of getting everybody involved while still getting his. Kennedy's as pure a shooter as our league's had in the last 15, 20 years, can really, really fill it up. His ball handling and his overall game's improved. And then Hill, how special was he at the combo last year? I mean, he's really as good a player as we have. And then even though Perdue is new back to Piketon, I can remember watching Perdue grow up at Piketon, and I've also had a chance to see some of his performances in a Western uniform. So I already kind of knew what the SVC fans got to see at the preview the other night, which is hey, this kid can really play. For me, I think with Swingle and Perdue joining the three Uniota guys, that's how I would go. I know I kind of cheat Zane Trace. I just think Zane Trace is so deep. I still think we're going to need 5, 6, 7 games to kind of get them to sort that roster out. So those are the five I would go with.
Give the fans a player you feel is ready to take on a bigger role during the 2017-2018 basketball season.
You know, again, I think this is a really tough question, because at the top of that league standings, you have the Uniota, and then I think a couple of teams can have, you know, maybe give them a run for their money. But, you know, Shane, you mentioned Zane Trace. I'm going to go with Cameron Evans, you know, their point guard there. He's talented. He's quick. He's a good dribble-to-drive guy. It seems just from this freshman year, he has good court vision at times, and he'll mature as the year goes on, you know, as the sophomore year goes on. But without that Darby Pillow there, he doesn't have to split time now. So you're going to see Cameron Evans play a lot more minutes. He kind of grew into that with Pillow's injury last year, and then he came in and he started pretty much every game for those Pioneers. But if you look at the history of Gary Kello coached teams, you look at the point guard position, and that point guard has been one of the best players on that team at almost every single year that he's had a team, even back to the Chillicothe days of the Caleb Knights and Tyler Manning. So I really think Cameron Evans is poised for a big year. He had that breakout season last year. I think he continues and even rises to another level this year.
Yeah, I think that's a great pick, because as I said, I love Zane Trace's depth across the board. It's going to be interesting to see who does take on, as the question asks, who takes on a new role. I guess I'm going to stay in the top half of the league, Derek, and I'm going to look if Paint Valley and Piketon are going to be able to jump in and compete with these top two teams. It's going mm-hmm. to have to be the likes of a Bryce Newland or say a Cruz McFadden on the Paint Valley side, where on the Piketon side it could be the likes of a Lytle or a Beach or those types of kids. So I'm going to say the role players of Paint Valley and Piketon are really going to dictate, because I think you know what you're going to get from Swingle. I think you know what you're going to get from Perdue.
Sure.
And as I watched the preview the other night, I just couldn't help but think, you know, obviously those two teams were playing teams from the bottom half, and there's different combinations out there. But I really watch individuals at the preview, and I just see there's two or three kids in the starting lineup of both teams that are really going to kind of dictate what level they're able to play at. I think that's something the fans really need to watch early on.
With three new head coaches in the league, what impact could this have on the final standings?
You know, I think it's a little bit more of an impact on the boys' side than the girls' side. You look at the boys' side, and you have a Huntington with an Eric Snyder who's familiar with the program. You have a Rick Strawsball at Southeastern who's familiar with the program. And then, of course, Gary Kello, who was familiar with the program. So I think it's a little bit a different dynamic for the girls than it is the boys. Obviously, when you have a coach like a Gary Kello take over, you have a basketball mind like and Eric Snyder take over, you know, those programs are going to flourish or take that next step in the right direction. I think Strawsville is maybe a little bit unproven right now. We don't have that background to go off of, but he does have talent there with a Rex Hartman, Elaine Ruby, the Wheeler kid out there. So I think it's a little bit more of an impact to the girls, but I still say, Shane, you know, when say you put like a Dylan Swingle on a team and Dylan scored 40 points a game, you know, basketball is more of a sport where, you know, a one single player instead of maybe a coach can take over.
Well, I think what's interesting, and you heard me say a couple times, I think it's a scary time to be a coach trying to build from the ground up. But I think the difference is, as you alluded to on the boys' side, you just have more experience. Even Strawsball there at Southeastern played in the early 90s. I played against Rick. Was a good player. He's been a Southeastern lifer. Southeastern's the type of tradition where they have people that just constantly want to be involved in the program and so forth. Eric's obviously more than proven. From the Paint Valley girls to the Paint Valley boys to the Huntington girls, now the Huntington boys. Every place he's gone, he's been really good at taking programs and building them up and moving them forward. He's even had college experience at OUC. So, and then obviously Gary Kelly's Hall of Fame. I mean, few coaches coach the defensive end quite like Coach Kello. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it certainly can have an impact, not just this year, but in years to come for sure. But I agree that on the boys' side, a lot of these transitions will be a little bit just of a smoother type of situation because you're dealing with older, maybe more experienced coaches.
One fan wants to know what you guys thought of the three-point contest at this year's preview and what impact will the three-point shot have in this year's league?
Well, I mean, first of all, I enjoyed watching. I think it was good entertainment. Anytime I can watch a contest like that or, you know, like the NBA All-Star Weekend, I make sure I kind of set aside time for that just to watch it because it just entertains me. And obviously when you have a Gabe Odell and a Brandon Kennedy going off in a shoot-off, in that championship round there at the boys preview, it's entertaining. And Shane, let's face it, when Yun Yoda and Zane Trace to get together in Tiddlywinks, it's entertaining. So hello. I think the 3-point shot contest does kind of give a good transition into the season, because last year I cannot tell you how many times I wrote 3-point field goal, because the game revolves around that shot so much now. And you look at the teams we have in our league, and you look at the Swackhammer, the Kennedy, you look at the Odell, the Cameron Evans, the Zane Trace, and it goes on and on down the list. I mean, even maybe with the teams where we're not sure of, or maybe at the bottom, you know, I guess preseason bottom half teams, if you would, they still shoot the three ball like it's nobody's business. So I think it's going to have a huge impact. And, a bad shooting night for Yun Yoda, a bad shooting night for, whoever it may be, maybe it can lead to a loss because of that bad shooting night from beyond the arc.
Well, I love the addition to the event of the preview, Bruce. I thought it was great. I know some people think that night can get kind of long, but here's the thing. At the girls and boys, I kind of put it on the clock. It was done inside of 15 minutes. All eight schools are represented. They're doing it between the second and third game, so it's by far the biggest the crowd is during the evening. And mm-hmm. It's just a really cool event. And as far as the boys' side goes, you know, Derek talked about it. Two of the great shooters in our league, I think, hit a combined like 19 of 33s or whatever it was in that final round. It was good entertainment. And as you transition into the league, you know, Jeff Miller talked about it in the interview. I think whenever Uniota does finally lose, you have to kind of feel like it could be the three-point shot, or it could be the X factor, or something like that, where someone has a great shooting night, or maybe Uniota doesn't shoot it well, or so forth. But Zane Trace obviously has four or five kids that can knock it down. Piketon, three, four kids that can knock it down. I certainly think, you know, when it comes to guarding a Dylan Swingle, Paint Valley's ability to shoot the three makes him, impossible. He might be impossible to guard anyway, but if Paint Valley starts hitting 8, 9, 10 threes a night, I know he's impossible to guard. So, you know, that's a factor. So, yeah, to say the three-point shot's not going to be a factor in the league would be wrong. So it's a cool part of the event, and I think it's something to watch into the regular season.
And so that is our fast break, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. I'm sure you can find something for the golfer on your Christmas list. And tiddlywinks, really, Derek? I don't know. Like that. Most people probably don't even know what that is anymore, I don't think. unless there's an app for that. And then
perhaps. Well, if Gary Kello and Matt Hoops are playing, I'm watching.
That point well taken. Anyway, we're going to move into our post-game comments, again brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment. Give them a call up in Circleville at 740-477-9828 for your SVC school apparel. They'll fix you right up with Christmas just around the corner. Of course, they can take care of what your SVC athlete or supporters need. They also have sports accessories, headwear, and sports equipment at 106 West Main Street in Circleville, C&K Athletic Equipment. We appreciate their support, and they are going to bring us our post-game comments. And as we did in the girls' show, which was show 201, here in show 202, we're going to talk predictions in this section. So we're going to ask you both, and we're going to start off with the biggest one, Uniota. What are your biggest question marks? Are they still the favorite? And will the streak continue another year? This is going to be interesting, given what we've heard from Matt Hoops there a little earlier. So, Shane, what are the biggest question marks? Are they still the favorite? And will the streak continue for another year?
Well, let's start with the biggest question marks. Obviously, I think what they graduated last year was experience, was a foundation that gave them a little stability is probably the best word. They still have some of their star power back. But I think the biggest thing, Derek, in my opinion, that they lose is when you lose an Ivy and you lose, you know, some kids that could really, really shoot it like White and so forth. You lose some situations where now you're looking to maybe some kids that still very capable, but maybe a little unproven. It was good to see Key back on the floor the other night. He had the health scare a year ago. At 6'3", he can really play. You know, Chance Smith comes up from the JV team, Nick Atkins. You know, obviously, you heard me say the three kids there on my first team was Swackhammer, Kennedy, and Hill. And then, you know, they obviously have Fisher back with them as well. But, you know, I don't know. The DeBoer twins come in. You know, they have size. But it's just going to be when you do go on the road to a Zane Trace, you go on the road to a Piketon, you go on the road to a Paint Valley. It's a different atmosphere at the varsity level if you haven't done that before. So obviously playing with those four guys, if those four guys are healthy, if those four guys are invested, if those four guys are outdoing what they do and complementing each other the way they have throughout their career. Are they the favorite? Oh, absolutely. Now, as far as them, the streak, gosh, I said it before. We've started to take for granted 14-0, and 14-0 is hard. You know, I don't know that I'll ever just sit here and say, well, I don't know how they'll lose a game. You know, I guess they've earned the right to me at 55 straight to say that they are the favorite, and I assume they're going to win every game until someone beats them because that's kind of what's happened. But beyond that, I think the biggest thing to watch from a basketball standpoint, Bruce, is to watch some of these newcomers and how well they complement the Big Four, and how that puzzle starts to fit together. I think getting Uniota early could be a key, because if these young kids fall into their roles, I think this team could be that much better later in the year.
Okay. So will this? What's your prediction right now? Will the streak continue?
Well, I'm going to say, like I said, I'm going to say yes. I'm not going to sit here and act like it's easy. But until these kids, especially this Big Four, they've kind of proven that they can take the torch that was passed to them a year or two ago, and they've been able to win. So until someone beats them, I'm going to say, yeah, sure.
Okay, good political answer. Good political answer. Until someone beats them. Derek, what are you thinking?
Hey, you know what? I know I'm probably going to get a lot of backlash for this, and I know Matt Hoops is probably somewhere saying this is bulletin board material, but I'm going to say no. And I don't think maybe it happens the first time, but I really think, and I'm going to get more backlash for this, but I really like Zane Trace. I like how deep they are. I like the new coaching staff. I like that they're playing, you know, with motivation now with what's happened in that community. A lot of times, you know, Gary Keller said it best. A lot of times, sometimes tragedy can bring a team even closer. And this group of guys is even close to begin with. Mm-hmm. So if they're playing together, if they're playing with motivation, if they're playing like they can, they've got so much talent on that court, inside and out. I really think Zane Trace can give Uniota a run for its money. I also think Paint Valley can give Uniota a run for its money, because any time that Dylan Swingle's on the court, the Bearcats can beat anybody on any given night. So, you know, Shane, you said it great. 55 games is so spectacular. And a lot, like you said, I don't think a lot of people understand how tough that actually is. But with the talent at the top of the league this year, I think it catches up with them. I think they don't get to that 69 mark at the end of the year. I think it ends this year.
And I think that's fair, Bruce. You would think just mathematically.
Yeah.
At some point it has to catch up with them. Yeah. It is. It's absolutely fascinating as just a fan of basketball and a fan of the SBC to watch, especially with the likes of Gary Kello and some of the talent, and, you know, a D1 player like Swingle, like he said, obviously Piketon very good too. So yeah, it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. We already kind of talked about this question, but I'll give you a little chance, both of you, to kind of maybe embellish on these teams, Zane Trace, Piketon, and Paint Valley. They seem to be the ones most talked about pushing Uniota, and I think you hit pretty much all of them there, Derek. Shane, anything mm-hmm. on those three you want to talk about?
Well, I think for me here to really get the fans organized and what I would be looking for when I analyze these teams, I mentioned it in the fast break. I think Paint Valley and Piketon's supporting cast and how they grow after a year of varsity, because they were kind of new to the whole varsity scene a year ago. Now that some guys like Bronner and Purdom have graduated there at Paint Valley, and you know, Piketon has had some of their older guys move on with the older Veach and so forth, and some kids that had been around. I think now you get to a situation where, are those guys ready to be impact all league type of players? And if the answer is yes, these teams now become more of a 10, 11, 12, you know, SBC win potential type of team compared mm-hmm. to that 7, 8, 9. And I think that's really the key. Zane Trace is fascinating because Derek's talked about it, and he's spot on. This Zane Trace team, from just a talent level, like if you just analyze their roster, they're absolutely loaded. I mean, a year ago, when you looked at what Coach Coker had, he basically had a weird team, mm-hmm. I described. And he did a nice job with them because he had older kids that were more athletic, but his best basketball players were basically freshmen. Mm-hmm. Well, now they're all kind of mixed in together, and they're all kind of physically maturing, and they're all kind of just varsity ready. And it's going to be a matter of you know, Coach Kello coming in, evaluating this, and kind of seeing how, you know, this top 7, 8, 9 all factor into this, and how he's going to use each piece of the puzzle. And that's why I say, yeah, but them having their home game with Uniota early, that's what intrigues me a little bit, is can Zane Trace push it, push kind of the limit here with a tough non-league schedule to start to see how it goes out. But I think those are the things I would look at for those three teams early in the year.
Derek, what about you? Anything else? I mean, you've already touched on. I don't know that you talked about Piketon necessarily. What are your thoughts on them?
You know, I think I guess apologetically, Piketon kind of gets lost in the fold for me because they never seem to, like, you know, have that roster like a Zane Trace or a Uniota, but they always seem to, like, float around that 500 mark, at least for the last couple of seasons. And then they'll surprise you at the end of the year. They'll be at the Convo play, or they're in a district final, you know, or whatever it may be. So I think that the Purdue kid really just gives them a new dynamic. The Veach, Tanner Veach. Yeah, I mean, he's just, I think out of anybody, somebody tweeted at me. I posted the schedule change to the boys basketball preview, and they tweeted and they said, you know, I think, in my unbiased opinion, which I think they were being sarcastic, but it might not have been, Piketon's going to impress me the most. You know, other than, and I think that could be true. I think we knew kind of what Zane Trace was going to have, but with Piketon, with the Tanner Purdue, I'm telling you, that was the kid that popped out the most to me. I was like, man, this kid's going to be good. I said that 3 or 4 times in 2 quarters. Hmm. And then when you combine that with the Lytle, the Veach, I mean, the kids that they already have and the kids that have been in that program, you're right. I mean, I mean, they could be right in the mix as well. I will also say they have like 8 assistant coaches. So, like, that also takes like the most in the league as well. So they've got a coach for like the five starters and every kid on the bench. So, you know, that's got to be an advantage, right?
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it isn't, I'm sure. What about the bottom half of the league, guys? Your thoughts on those and the role that they'll play in the league?
Well, I think for me, you know, Dean is really young. But, you know, coming up through junior high and following the league the way I do at all levels, these kids are certainly talented. Now, anytime you start throwing young kids into the varsity level, we talked about it earlier, it's a challenge. So it's just kind of a wait and see. Let's be patient. There are a couple older kids. The Blevins kid's a special athlete. There are a couple older kids that might help them make that transition. You know, Westfall had a lot of kids on JV last year with such a senior laden roster. So these kids had a nice JV run. Now they moved to the varsity level to kind of to complement Nunnemaker and a nice guard there in Westfall. You know, Huntington's is kind of a weird group right now. You return McCloskey, who is probably in that top 5 discussion as a player, certainly a top 10 player, can really, really play. But if you look at the way their roster was made up a year ago, Josh Beeler and Snyder maybe logged 50 to 100 total minutes. And to put that in perspective, usually at the varsity level, a rotation or a starter probably logs close to 500 to 650 minutes. So, I mean, they basically have zero varsity experience after McCloskey. I think they're a team that a year from now is going to look a lot different. You know, and then Southeastern's probably the team on paper that would go in that 5 hole. You mentioned Ruby Hartman's a really nice player, can get his own shot. But I see a definite cut there between top 4, bottom 4. That's not to say on a given night that someone's not going to beat somebody, because that's basketball. But I think over the course of 14 games, don't you feel like, at least on paper, there's a very fair cut between top 4 and bottom 4, especially bottom 3?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, maybe other than you can even take Southeastern out of that too, but other than Huntington and Southeastern, for Westfall and Adina, for me, the two things they have to find is a go-to scorer, because they don't have one. I mean, so far, I guess, let me rephrase it, they don't have a proven one. With Adina losing the postages, with losing, the name escapes me, Shane, their center last year,
Bacon Haster.
That's right. With them losing Bacon Haster, and then when you look at Westfall with losing Wyman, obviously, and then losing a Jude. I know they do still have the Nunnemaker kid. They do still have the Ponte kid, and then Corey Wyman's little brother Jay. I mean, I just think they have to find that go-to score for Huntington and Southeastern. You know, the depth for them. That's where the cutoff is for me. Paint Valley kind of gets over that because, again, they have Swingle. So they don't have to have that much depth. I mean, just give the ball to Swingle every time down the court, right? Like, and then Bryce Newland and Cruz McFadden. And I really think, by the way, is it LJ for Paint Valley, Shane?
What's that?
The Hollis. Is it Hollis? They got a new kid in the lineup this year. They're one of their starting 5, lefty.
Oh, Hunter Hamlin.
Hunter Hamlin, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hunter Hamlin.
Yeah, nice kid. About 6'4", can shoot the mid-range jumper a little bit. Yeah,
I think he's going to be nice. So even with that Payne Valley, I think they kind of get over that hump of the depth problem because they do have those four who are used to playing, you know, let's face it, what, 28 to 32 minutes of a basketball game.
Okay, so, yeah, Caden Grubb and Cruz McFadden out top together, sure, yeah.
So I think that Huntington and Southeastern, they do have that go-to score in Elijah McCloskey or Elaine Ruby or even in Rex Hartman, but I think that they're going to have problems when it comes to the depth. So, and you're right, that's where the significant cutoff is for me after that top four.
All right, well, basketball season is back, Shane.
Yeah, it is, and it's exciting. Bruce, we appreciate you putting in, these don't reach the hour mark, but I know both shows can get up in the 45, 50-minute range there. So, but I think splitting the shows gives the fans a chance to kind of go to both sides there and listen as they want to, and it gives us a chance to really highlight both the girls and the boys. So we appreciate that. We appreciate the fans listening, and we look forward to next week getting going week to week with our normal basketball show. So let us know what you think, and we'll look forward to a great season here on SVC Sports Talk. So until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all of our other great sponsors, for Bruce Knox and all the great people at DBK Media Services, and of course we appreciate the efforts of you, Derek Webb, at the Chillicothe Gazette, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting svcsportzone.com, where we are 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.